looking at the book of John, since this is the fourth time we are on a series on Lent series, we're looking at the book of John, and we'll go through up to his resurrection on Easter Sunday. Today is the fourth time, and it's a little bit long. I tried to read the whole chapter, and I realized that that will be enough. But I'd like to read it, verse 1 through 30. It will include our story. Before reading the text, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are here today one more time to bring our hearts to you, wondering about your words from the Scripture, how you will speak to us, how we will understand about you. Thank you for revealing yourself from the Scripture. Would you please help us to deeply go inside this text, and we will understand about you from a story from the Samaritan lady's life. As I'm going to deliver your word, would you please help me? I will also help me and myself and our congregation members to focus on you, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 4, page number from the Pew Bible is 1131. Yeah, long verses. Ready? Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making the baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but also his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A man from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciple had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jew had no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked me, and it would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and did his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and then come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. Then the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, that you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and then went away into the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out the town and were coming to him. This is the word of God. There was a lady named Unknown, lady in Samaria. We don't know her name, unfortunately. But we know one thing about her. Her life was a mess. It's not imaginable. It's totally mess. According to the Jewish law, a person can marry up to three times. Three times already too much. But the Samaritan woman had five husbands. So we don't know that she actually married or divorced or her husbands passed away. But we know that she already had five husbands. That tells us something. That's not the end of the story. Now she lives with a man, now this time without marriage. Somehow she was a famous woman in town. Everybody knows her. Everyone must have talked about her and her lifestyle. And she was socially disconnected. And she was morally isolated. Now people must have said, did you hear that? She now lives with a man. This time she didn't get married at all. Did you know that? How could she do that? That's not lawful. In our story, we read that Jesus and his disciples were traveling through Samaria. And then while his disciples were gone to buy food and something to eat, Jesus was sitting beside Jacob's well. That's our setting. And let's talk about the well. The well was like a social hub for the ladies at the time. Usually ladies from the town came to the well to draw water for their family or something else. They came with their friends, usually, and their neighbors. And they also came to the well at the time, either in the morning or evening, to avoid the sun, the heating and power, and it's a really scorching sun. But yet, this unknown lady that we read could not join the group because of her bad reputation, her messed up lifestyle. Everybody knew about her. So she knew that she was not welcomed there at the well. She didn't like their dirty looking eyes. They didn't just say, hey, hi, how are you? They were looking at her like, what? You came here? So for her, the scorching and beating sun, the heat of the sun in the Middle East in an afternoon was much easier than the meeting with other ladies at the well. So she usually went and came to the well in the afternoon when no one was around. Now our text tells that she came to the well around noon, which is about 12 o'clock. Sure, she didn't expect anybody there. But she found a man sitting next to the well. Now, first of all, she must have surprised. She was not expecting someone there. She was very uncomfortable with this strange man next to the well. And then based on our text, she found out that the man was not one of her neighbors, but the man was a Jew. Yeah, that's weird. Because usually Jews did not come to that area, Samaria. They considered the Samaritans were impure and unclean. Based on my reading, they didn't even touch their food or their stuff. If Samaritans touch something, they don't touch that stuff. Oh, this is impure. So they didn't go through that city. Now, she could have returned home and then come back to the well later. But who cares? The man didn't know about her. The Jew was sitting next to the well, would never talk to her. So since she was not a neighbor, or he was not a neighbor, she didn't have to worry about anything and her reputation. But she didn't know who was waiting for her. She didn't know. the Son of God, the Messiah, was waiting for her. That's the beauty of our text we read. We know that Nicodemus from last week, Nicodemus came to Christ to know about him. But he didn't get it first time. Later on, he got it, but he didn't get it. He just disappeared from the scene. But the lady here, she didn't know about Jesus Christ at all. Probably she never heard of him at all. Who's he? But here our text says Jesus came to her in the middle of her normal duty lifestyle, in the middle of her life, in the middle of her sinful life. The Messiah came to see her. That's the beauty of our story. Now we see that the same is true for us here. When John says in chapter 1, the true light came to the world, we know that Jesus Christ came to us. And sometimes we see Jesus comes to us every day, and we encounter him every day in the middle of our daily life, normal things to do, our work, our prayer, when we read the Bible. In the middle of our worship service this morning, we feel the flood of his mercy and presence and his grace that overflows over us and covers us. He comes to us. When the lady came to the well, she was shocked by this man's request. She never expected, but he asked her to give him a drink. Now, when we read her response to Jesus Christ, it's kind of really weird. We can see how much she was, maybe I say, upset or angry, or she was very frustrated by Jesus Christ and his question. And this is what she said. She said, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Now, when people traveled at that time, they usually carried their own buckets made out of an animal skin to draw water from the well. And she must have assumed that Jesus had that one, or he carried his own bucket. Now, in that case, she was right. It's not her job to draw water for him. She's not his slave, but that's his job to do. But later on, she found out that Jesus didn't have a bucket, but later. But yet, at this very moment, when a stranger asked her to draw water to drink, she was not happy at all. She must have thought, okay, come on, my life is already full. I know that people don't like me at all because of my lifestyle. They're talking about me, I know that. But how come you, a Jew, can treat me like that? Do you know me? It is your business to draw water. That's your water. It's not my business. Don't you have a bucket? I'm not your servant. Basically saying, don't bother me. Do not bother me. Now, culturally speaking, for the Jews, having a conversation with a Samaritan was considered as a dirty work. She knew that, and Jesus knew that. Even Jewish men at the time didn't even talk to any woman in the public. That's their culture. Now, so here, Jesus was breaking two laws. He talked to a woman. That's why later on his disciples said, what are you doing, Lord? What are you doing? They were thinking that. And then that woman was a Samaritan. When she expressed her temper or anger or frustration, Jesus must have sensed her feeling. It's a very broken feeling. And he could have said, I'm sorry to bother you. But however, we know the story. Although she didn't want to talk with him, she said that, Jesus kept inviting her to the conversation, inviting her. And his invitation was very powerful that we'll find out later. An interesting thing is this. Jesus did not answer her question. Rather, here in our text, he right away he revealed himself who he was from the beginning of his conversation. In chapter 4, verse 10, he said, "If you knew the gift of God." We know the stories. We feel, wow, this is awesome. But the lady didn't know. He said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now the Samaritan lady was really confused by his words. What? There is no way for her to know and to understand and to recognize Jesus at this point. We know it. But for her, no. Jesus said, "The gift of God and living water." Now let's think about, logically think about this situation. She clearly expressed that she didn't want to talk to him. "Okay, don't bother me. All right, that's your business. And that's it." But Jesus kept talking to her, inviting her. And he said that, "The gift of God, living water." Now what do you think about this weird situation? It's not logical. What would you say if someone comes to you in the middle of the day and saying, "Hey, the gift of God, and living water"? That's awkward. Actually, she didn't have to say any word at this point. And someone, a man is sitting next to the woman in the middle of day and 12 o'clock. That's not right. Something's wrong. So she just get the water and then pour water in the jar and just saying nothing and go home. There was no reason for her actually to argue with this weird man. He's talking, a weird young Jewish man. But verse 11, she challenged Jesus. Verse 11, she said, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?" She's arguing. She's questioning. And then she's challenging. "Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and the well and then drink from it himself and did his sons and his livestock. And we are drinking out of it now. So how can you? This is really deep." What do you see her feeling about Jesus Christ? Her feeling about this situation in these lines, this verse 11. What do you see her personalities or characteristics? You know, we see that although she messed up her life totally, 5 times marriage, and still lives in with her man. She was not an easygoing lady. She's not an easygoing lady. She could not agree with all this nonsense, what Jesus said, the gift of life, living water. So she challenged him. Now she found out that Jesus didn't have a bucket. By the way, the well was very deep. It's over 100 feet by the history. That's really deep. And even more, she was very knowledgeable to the Old Testament, which is the Pentateuch. They didn't have the whole Bible. They have only Pentateuch. So she knew about the Bible. And she was saying like this, "Hey, sir, you don't have anything to get water from here. So you cannot talk about living water. Our ancestor Jacob gave us this well. Not you, a Jewish young man. Not you. Very blunt and strong and very clear. Very smart." Once again, she is responding to her with her cold and grumpy and cranky and emotional status. Don't treat me like that. That's her intention here. Now here, did Jesus give up? Oh, she's so strong. Or did Jesus rebuke her as he did to Nicodemus in chapter 3? When Nicodemus didn't understand his teaching, he rebuked her. "You are the teacher of Jews. How can you don't know about this one?" But not here. Without rebuking her, Jesus again, it's very interesting. When she challenged her, Jesus revealed himself again who he was. In verse 13, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Wow. Wow, we know that. He was talking about water, not water from the well, but he was talking about himself, the living water, eternal life, the water that she desperately needed at the time. So Jesus is talking about himself. We know that. Jesus knew that she was spiritually thirsty. She's looking for something to fill her empty heart. She had tried her best many times to find someone or something to fill her spiritual emptiness, thirst, and she always failed. So Jesus invited her and said to her, "Hey, you will be thirsty again if you go somewhere, but you will be never thirsty in me, with me." Jesus revealed himself very clearly. Usually he doesn't do that. This lady had a very special moment. Now at this moment, she must have thought that Jesus was crazy. Now, thinking about all the conversation, gift of God, water, and living water. So she challenged him again in our text, verse 15. She said, "Oh, okay, then give me this water you're talking about, the spring of water, eternal water, whatever, so that I will not be thirsty." And the next line is, "or have to come here to draw water." She misunderstood. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, revealed himself very clearly here. He offered himself. He offered eternal life and living water. But she didn't get it. She didn't get it. She was very skeptical. Actually, she was right. Eternal water, a spring of water welling up from me, never thirsty again? No, that's impossible. She was right. But we see how Jesus handled this cranky, grumpy, and angry Samaritan lady. He tried to bring her eyes and heart to her spiritual life, not her physical life. Basically, he's saying that you need me. She needed Jesus. She needed the Messiah. Jesus was not talking about the natural water that we can get, but the spiritual water, the living water. Jesus' words reminds us of one thing, what the prophet Isaiah said. We read this morning, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." Now, sometimes we are acting like, exactly like this Samaritan lady. Jesus reveals himself through the scripture very clearly. John chapter 7 and verse 37. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." What a comforting word here. "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Do you believe that? Sometimes we are very skeptical, like this lady. Rather than coming to Christ, we go to everywhere. We go to the world. We try to find something else to quench our thirst. It can be our money and honor and power, your pride and your possessions, whatever you have on. We're very busy finding something else to fill our empty hearts, to quench our thirst like the Samaritan lady. But we know the result, what Jesus said from our text. We will be thirsty again. We will be thirsty again. Come to Christ and find the living water. That's what Jesus is saying to the lady. Now, did she get it? She didn't get it. Another question is then, Jesus now give up this time? Because it's impossible to teach her. No, he did not give up. In our verse 16, we see Jesus is changing his tactic. Because she was not understandable. She didn't understand. So Jesus changed his tactic to teach her. Verse 16. Now then, call your husband and come here. Wow. She must have been shocked by his command. And she must have thought, does he know me? Hold on 1 second. Did somebody tell him about me before coming here? People say that the lady coming here around the noon and she has 5 husbands. And did somebody say that? Anyway, she was very defensive about what Jesus said. And she told him that she doesn't have any husband. And she didn't like to talk about her sin and her sinful life. In verse 18, and Jesus kept saying about her sinful life in verse 18, for you have had 5 husbands. I know that. The one you now have is not your husband. I know your life. I know you're just totally messed up. What you have said is true. I don't think she was happy about what Jesus said to her. She didn't know how Jesus got to know about her life, sinful life, that she didn't want to talk about at all. She didn't know why Jesus is talking about all these things and the sinful life. What she wanted at that point was to change her subject again. She's very smart. She changed the subject again. Verse 18, and said, sir, oh, you know me, yeah? I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. Wow, she's bringing a very hot issue there. But you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. It's funny to read her reaction, actually. You know, somehow she's like us and like me. We didn't want to talk about our sins in public or with somebody else. We don't want people get to know about our sinful life. Talking about sin, it's very uncomfortable. It's shame, annoying, angry, and resentment. It's not your life. Don't bother me. But we know what John says. 1 John chapter 1. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We are deceiving ourselves every day, like this lady. The truth is not in us. If we, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. That's the beauty of confession, bringing our sinful life to Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is talking about that. Okay, bring your sinful life. But she was very defensive. Oh, no. Let's talk about different things. What about worship style? The Samaritan lady did her best to escape from this uncomfortable conversation. While Jesus was talking about her sinful life, her status, and she began talking about theological concept or theological differences between Jews and Samaritans, yes, she was very smart. No one can do that. To make a long story short, this was her argument. Based on the Deuteronomy chapter 11 and 27, Mount Gerizim was the place to worship because the blessings were proclaimed by Moses in this mountain. Because the Samaritan had only 5 books, the Pentateuch, they didn't understand that later on David's story and in Isaiah. So the Samaritan built the temple on the Mount Gerizim. That's their faith. But the temple was destroyed. The Hasmonean leader, John, and 127. So the Samaritan lady was saying that, hey, you know about me. Hey, you are very smart. You look like a prophet. You know better than I do about all these things. Good. Then let's talk about not me. Let's talk about this worship style. Hey, give me the answer. That's very interesting to see how Jesus handled this situation. Now, firstly, actually he answered. She brought some theological questions to him, but actually he answered this time. He answered that worship, that she's bringing worship. Worship was not about the right place here and there, but worship is about the hour, God's time. And verse 21 and 23, he repeated two times, the hour is coming, and now the hour is coming and is now here. The hour means the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He's a redeeming work, giving his life to save all the people for our sins. That's the hour. So Jesus answered her question. It's not about place, but it's about time and my time. The secondly, Jesus said that worship is not about you. That's a very important lesson from here. It's not about your style, your preference, but it's about God. There's big misunderstanding in our days. Worship is all about our styles. And my preference is not that church, but this church. Well, there is a danger to say that way. Jesus says, 23, that's very clear. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. It's not about us, but God is looking for the true worshipers. The world, we see the churches and all the Christians nowadays, sometimes including me, we are trying to find a kind of awesome and wonderful worship style and lots of things in it and sometimes touching me and I can join. But it's not that. It's worship is Father is looking for the true worshipers. It's not about my feeling, my experience. It's not about place. It's all about Jesus Christ. Now, it can be another sermon from this particular text here we just read about worship places. I don't want to go into that discussion at this time. But we know what Jesus clearly said about worship is about Jesus Christ. It's not about mountain. That is actually great. The most great news that ever heard of for the lady. Well, she didn't get it. Wow, that's awesome. She's like me. No, I don't get it. I don't get it. She tried her best to argue with him this time, to defend her lifestyle, even faith, or theological questions. Now she realized that she couldn't do anymore. She couldn't argue with him anymore. Now finally she realized that. So verse 25, she said that the woman said to him, hey, I know what you're talking about. All the things you know about me, you know about the worship style, everything. But Messiah is coming, not you. The Messiah is coming. Who? He who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell me all things. Well, let's finish our discussion and conversation here. Basically, she was saying like that. Yeah, you might be right, you may be right. But you know what? Only the Messiah will tell me the truth, not you. Now, at this point, we see that she was trying to close her conversation with Christ. No more argument, no more questions. No more weird teachings about gift of God, eternal life, living water. Ooh, headaches. Then finally Jesus said to her, this is very interesting. Finally Jesus said to her in verse 20, saying the most powerful moment in our text. He said, I who speak to you am he. That's it. That's it, Lord. While I was preparing my sermon this week, I had to stop here many times to think about this very moment with Christ, the Samaritan lady, when Jesus said, I who speak to you, at this very moment, speak to you, am He. I don't think that Jesus simply say, hey, you know what, the lady, listen, I'm the Messiah. Not that way. He must have said to her with His love and compassion for her, because He knew her more than anyone else, because He knew that she was spiritually thirsty, and He said, I who speak to you am He. Did you get it? Jesus knew that. He knew that. She didn't need anything at this moment. Not another husband or something else, but the Messiah. The living water. The living water. Did she argue with Jesus again? Because Jesus claimed Himself that He's the Messiah? No. Their conversation was interrupted by the disciples. They came. They were questioning their minds. We just read it. But she didn't say any word at that moment. And our text describes what she did. Verse 28. So, the woman left her water jar. That's very important to her. She had to have that one, her property. And she left that one there and went away into town. Can you imagine? She didn't want to see anybody. She went into town and said to the people. She knew that people hated her so much. They didn't like her at all. Looking at with dirty looking eyes. And so meeting with the people in town was the last thing that she would do. I don't want to do that. But now here she changed. Because she knew that. She found that something happened to her. Verse 26. When Jesus said, I who speak to you am He. She met the Messiah. Then she met the Christ. Now she got into the city. When she arrived in the city, she raised her voice and said, maybe proclaimed, boldly proclaimed, and say, 29, verse 29, hey, come and see a man. Can this be the Christ? Now, amazing thing is this. People in town believed her. They believed. Many Samaritans came to see Christ and they asked Jesus to stay with them a few more days. In verse 41, and many people believed because of His word. It's very interesting to look at John chapter 1 and 2 and 3. Many people believed because they saw His signs. But here, verse 41, they believed because of His word. 42, we know that this is indeed what? Indeed what? The Savior of the world. This is the most powerful things happening in that area through the woman, unknown woman. They became Christians, basically. They came to know God and Christ. Isn't that a beautiful story? Everyone hated the lady. And we didn't know her name at all. But she was the first missionary to people in town. I intentionally kept one verse up to this moment. I want to bring your attention to there. Verse 4. ESV, our text says, and He had to pass through Samaria. Now, if we read the ESV or other English Bibles, we can just easily skip this verse. He had to miss the point, miss the powerful moment, powerful word in this text. And that Greek word is they. It's a they. I was trying to put it on the screen. But it's they in Greek. And simply, just one word means it is necessary. Necessary. With that mind, none of you traveled through Samaria. They didn't like Samaritans. But, you know, it's interesting. It wasn't necessary for Jesus Christ to travel that city through Samaria. Why? Jesus didn't have to sit by the well and waiting for someone else coming. No, he could have gone to the city to buy food and under the scorching sun. But it wasn't necessary for him to sit and waiting for somebody. Why? Because of this lady. This lady, this sinful lady, no one liked her. This lady, Jesus wanted to see her. It wasn't necessary for him to talk to her about the living water, what she needed more. It wasn't necessary for her to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who could give her the living water. It was not an accident that we think. But it's God's plan, God's divine plan happening in her life. It wasn't necessary. That word, just one word in Greek, they, actually, that thrills me and thrills you and me. It wasn't necessary. Everything happening to us is necessary. Because we know that we are here today, not by chance, not by habit. Every Sunday morning, wake up, go to church. Yeah, that's my habit. No, not that way. It isn't necessary to be here because Jesus is waiting for you. It's not by your plan and will, but it's God's divine plan for you and me. It is necessary to see Him, to worship Him, to know Him, to praise Him, to be with Him this morning. In the steps of our spiritual journey, it is necessary for us to meet Him again and again and again. Jesus comes to us. He's always waiting for us. We are thirsty like the Samaritan lady, aren't we? I'm thirsty. The lady's story reminds me of what Paul said. We've been looking at the Philippians months ago. He's running toward Christ's goal. I'm thirsty. I want to know about Christ more and more because I don't know about Him well. More. I'm thirsty. Maybe we have tried many different things to fill our empty hearts. Yeah, you know, this is good. Temporarily good. Yeah, I'm happy. But we know that no one and nothing will quench our thirst. Nothing. Well, very result, end of it, we will be thirsty again. Now here Jesus promises us through the story. He tells us something different. A spring from inside of us. The work of the Spirit. In 14, John chapter 4, 14. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Somehow we see, and I found myself like the Samaritan lady many times. We have so many questions like the lady in the story. And that we are very sinful in many ways we don't want to talk about. But we know, we heard, we believe. It is necessary. Jesus has to come to us. This time of Lent season, it is necessary for us to meet Him again. It is necessary for us to boldly share the gospel of Jesus Christ like this unknown lady. But the famous Samaritan lady in the Bible. Remember what Jesus said. I will give him. Become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. It is necessary to be here this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for telling us a story from the Bible, the Samaritan lady. Well, whether we are men or women, we feel that she's like us, living in a sinful lifestyle. We don't want to talk about things that we don't want to talk. But we want our own worship style. We want our own things. But oftentimes we forget about what we need. Well, even though we don't have our temple, our sanctuary here, maybe we can go outside and worship outside. No place to get together. But what we need is Jesus Christ. What we need, truly need, is Jesus Christ. Thank you for teaching that. Lord, would you please speak to us one more time? What we need, not money, not power, not honor, not something else, not successful lifestyles, but you, our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to remember that, this time of Lent season. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.